to the Space Our Wildlife Trip Report. During each episode, we shall be talking to our fellow guides and guests about their recent travels around the world, discussing holiday highlights and also interviewing our guests about their own experiences. You can find more information about us and our destinations at www.spacesidewildlife.co.uk. And welcome back to another podcast with the Space Our Wildlife Trip Report. And I'm joined today by Roy Atkins, one of our guides. And we're going to be talking about our new Amazon River holiday, which is happening later this year. So, Roy, do you want to just quickly introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Roy. Some of you may already know me. I'm sure you've been on some of my trips, some of you. If you don't, I've been guiding for Space Our Wildlife for over 20 years now. I've been to all kinds of far-flung places, which is just my dream job, frankly. So we've just put together this new trip to, it's an Amazon cruise, basically, and I am very excited. We had a couple of guests some time ago say, they've been on various tributaries of the Amazon, but they've never actually seen the Amazon itself. So it sort of struck me that it might be a good idea to put something together, actually going to the Amazon itself in the center of the Amazon rainforest. And that was what sort of sparked looking into this. And then the more I looked into it, the more excited I got, because it just sounds fantastic. We are literally going to be on the River Amazon itself, the big river, in the middle of the Amazon rainforest, exploring with little motorized canoes up channels and looking at islands and all sorts of stuff. So I think it's going to be fantastic.
And you say that we're going to be on the river. Are we going to be staying on the river as well? Where will we be staying?
Well, at the very beginning of the holiday, we've got a couple of nights in Manaus, which is a big city right in the centre of the rainforest, really. And we're going to do a little bit there before we go on the river itself, because there's some fantastic birding to be had on some rather good reserves. One of which has Guyana and Cock of the Rock, which is almost legendary. It's a stunning bird. You need to look it up. But it's a member of the Katinga family, which are a really unusual family. Very bizarre looking birds, but they do a lek. So the males all get together and display and jump about and make crazy sounds and stuff. And that was a bit too tempting to resist starting the holiday with that, as well as a whole stack of other birds and mammals, and the sloths there, there's various monkeys there. So we start in there, and then after a couple of days, we are then going to go on the river itself, and we're going to be on a boat, a very comfortable boat, the Irasema it's called. It has ensuite air-conditioned cabins. It's got an upper deck that is like a viewing deck where you can just relax and chill out and watch the trees go by and all the macaws and toucans and whatever else we happen to spot from it. And then the second deck down is the dining deck. So it just sounds really, really nice. And then that tows behind it some like motorized canoes. So the idea is that we can then explore, because the boat itself is too big to get up some of the narrower channels, and we want to get into some of those and really explore the rainforest itself. We need these little dugout canoes to get up those channels. So it's really going to be, sometime on the main boat, sometime going up the channels in these canoes, and sometime actually walking. We can go on land too. So we'll do little landings on various islands, particularly. And also they have two kinds of forest there. They've got the sort of the wet forest, as they call it, which is basically forest that floods every year. And then they have what they call terra firma, which is a phrase we kind of know. And terra firma is forest that never floods. So that's much drier. And it obviously has different kinds of trees and different kinds of plants and hence different birds and mammals. So we want to visit both kinds of habitats. So we get the opportunity to do that with the system that we've got in place there with these different boats. So now I think it's going to be really, really exciting.
And I was looking at some of the pictures, because we've got some of the pictures on our website of the boat that we'll be staying on. And it really is like a boat out of the movies. You know, it's that, it's yes. everything that you have in your mind when you think about this kind of riverboat cruise. And it's this beautiful kind of wooden hulled riverboat, and the cabins and the dining room looks amazing. The views from the dining room. And like you say, you've got the observation deck at the top, and it just, it conjures up all of these kind of images from movies and adventures on rivers and all sorts. It looks fabulous. It really does.
And I must admit, when I first started looking into the holiday, I kind of thought, well, what are we going to do? So, you know, people are saying they want to go to the Amazon and not Tribeshop. They want to see the Amazon itself, the river. Yeah. And I'm thinking, well, how do we do that? And then when I came across this as an option, I was just like, that's it.
Yeah,
we'll go with that, definitely. It just looks so nice.
Yeah, no, it does look amazing. So tell us a bit about the itinerary, and when are we going, importantly, and how does the itinerary
well,
kind of flow?
Yeah, know? So the itinerary is tricky only because to some extent it depends on river levels. So we have lots of different options of places that we can go. And this all depends on the captain of the ship and whether he feels we can get up certain channels or not and so on. Obviously, the main river's fine because that's huge. But you don't want to be right out in the middle of the river. You want to be up these channels and stuff. So where we actually go will depend on water levels. And that will also have an effect on how do I describe this? How high we are compared to the trees. Apparently, if the water level's really high, you can actually be quite high compared to the height of the trees and see things more easily in the treetops. And if the water level's low, then you'll be less like that, but you can do more landings. So it does depend a lot on water levels. There are two or three places we really would like to get to, and I think we will. One of those, and let me just find the name of it because I can never pronounce it. The place I'm thinking of has loads and loads of islands, and they are 400 or so little islands in this big archipelago. And we'll travel around through these islands and do landings on the islands, and you know, just generally explore that whole area. And there's a whole range of birds and different mammals and things we can see around there. Then there's another huge reserve, which is called Jau National Park. I'm presuming I'm pronouncing it right, J-A-U, which is just known for having a huge diversity of not just birds and mammals, but also of trees, huge diversity of trees. And that includes kind of different wet and dry areas. And again, we can do walks there and just a huge range of stuff we can see there. Mm-hmm. And then there's another area down on the River Negro, which some of the big rivers that are coming in we can explore as well. And that has this kind of terra firma forest where we can do more walks and see hopefully a different range of birds and mammals again. And it is a massive list of birds. You know, it's well over 300 possible species and some birds I'm quite excited about. Things, I mean, obviously there's going to be all the things you would expect of tropical forests. There'll be toucans and jacamars and parrots and hummingbirds and all kinds of, you know, tropical birds like that. But there's some birds I've always wanted to see, like Amazonian umbrella bird. And there's a thing called a capuchin bird, which sounds really bizarre. Very strange looking thing.
I was looking at pictures of the capuchin bird, and it does look like an overcoat on in the winter, and he's got it all pulled up over here and then his head. And
no, it just looks so different to anything else, you know. And it does, again, it's kind of closely related to these the cotingas, which is a really weird group of birds. They all look somewhat different. We'll see different cotingas on the trip. Umbrella bird is a cotinga. You know, it's a family of birds that birders get very excited about because they are so varied and so weird. So umbrella birds have this weird kind of hanging wattle thing and they make strange sounds. The cock of the rock is a kind of cotinga. You know, it's bright red. It has this weird kind of plume of feathers coming right out over its beak, which makes its head look a weird shape. And it seems to me that quite a few members of that family just look weird. And capuchin bird is not this little head on this one. Looks is, yeah, why is it like that? You know, you tend to think something like a vulture has a bare head so it can peck inside carcasses and things. It's not doing anything like that. Yeah. So
you've touched on some of the highlights that you're looking forward to, and I know the Cock of the Rock Lek is a real highlight for people as well. But then there's also some of the river species, things like the Amazon River dolphin and things. What are the other highlights?
Ooh, that yes.
You've got an ooh.
No, for me, that's possibly the biggest highlight of all is we are hopefully seeing pink river dolphins. There's two species of river dolphin. There's one has an odd name. It's called the Tukuksu, and that is also known as the grey river dolphin, which looks a bit more like a standard dolphin. Mm-hmm. Whereas the pink river dolphin is this, I'm sure you will have seen film of these things. They're very, very odd shape with this incredibly long snout, very, very active things. And they are pink, pink and grey. One of the things I'm really hoping happens, they seem very, very inquisitive. And from what I gather from chatting with a local guide is that even though they don't feed them, they come right up close. They like to investigate people, and they like to look at boats and canoes things. So you have a pretty good chance that they could come really, really close. Mm-hmm. And we may even get in the water with them, which sounds beyond what I expected, to be honest. And I was saying to the local guy, you know, are we feeding them or what? And he says, no, we're not feeding them. They're just going to come and have a look at us, assuming they come. And I can't promise it, but it's a pretty good chance. Well, I'm sure we'll see them at some point, but I'm hoping we'll get them like right up close and personal, like just feet away or sticking their heads out of the water and looking at us. And that just sounds outrageous to me. I'm really excited about that possibility. Then there's things like giant otter. We've got pretty good chances of those. And there's a load of different monkeys. I'm not sure how many we're likely to see, probably a dozen or more different kinds of monkeys. And I've been looking a few of those up, and some of them are very weird, really strange looking monkeys, all black with an orange face. Or there's another black one that's just got yellow hands and feet. So some really strange looking monkeys. And then you never quite know. I mean, we're nervous of mentioning some species because you just think there's a pretty good chance we won't see them. But there's loads of things there that are possible. I mean, there are jaguars, you know, there are tapirs, there are giant anteaters on some of the islands. There are, you know, there's a lot of stuff there, margays and all kinds of things. But we probably won't see any of those because they are, you know, you are in dense forest and all the rest of it, of course. But you never quite know. And it's just that anticipation that any minute something really crazy could come out of the undergrowth, you know.
Yeah.
So and that, I think that also adds to it, I think.
That's part of what this looks like. It's the anticipation. I mean, it looks like a real adventure, you know, everything from the boat that you're on, you're cruising on the Amazon, and there's that real anticipation of just what you might see, let alone what you probably will see. And it's an adventure from like childhood storybooks. When I look at the pictures and read the itinerary and things.
Well, that's very much how it feels to me. I feel a bit like, you know, I've done a lot of trips where we're staying in very nice lodges and then going out for the day and walking through the forest. I think there's something really lovely about birding from boats. It's just somehow more relaxing and more kind of, I don't know, you feel like you're in it, you know. It's hard to explain, but it really is adventurous and exciting, and I'm really, really looking forward to it, as you can probably tell.
And once we're on the river, so once we're on the section where we are staying on the river, is there opportunities of when you will be off on the land and walking around as well, or will it pretty much all be
based
watching, or you'll be on and off? And
yeah, so the idea is that we'll spend some time on the main boat, we'll spend some time in these motorized canoes, and then we'll also do landings. Not just on the terra firma, but also on, I mean, this area with all these 400 odd islands, you know, we're going to be landing on some of those islands and having a walk around on the island, see what we can find. So, I don't think I'd want to spend the entire holiday birding from boats, because it can be difficult as well. And especially in forest, you know, forest birding is quite tricky birding anyway. And from a boat, it can sometimes be hard if you're at the front of the boat trying to point something out and the people at the back can't quite work out where you mean. But So I think it's good to be doing a number of landings as well as birding from the boats. But I do like birding from boats, I must say. I really do. We do a bit of it in Costa Rica, and it's always exciting, yeah.
Thinking of the boats, because one of the questions that we do get quite a lot when we do have holidays where we're using boats and people are getting on and off, just describe again the smaller boats that we're using and the kind of the getting on and off, and is this an easy kind of experience for people to be able to get on the boat?
Yeah, I think it's pretty easy. Mm-hmm. So you'll go down steps, I think, to get onto these canoes. Mm-hmm. The canoes themselves, I think, are fairly narrow and easily manoeuvred and stuff. So when you actually land on an island, they will bring that up onto a sandbank, and then you'll step out.
Okay.
You may need footwear suitable for stepping out into shallow water, because mm-hmm. That's a possibility. But, you know, quite often you can kind of get the first people out onto the sandbank and then pull it further up and so on, so that...
Yeah.
People aren't doing that, but I wouldn't like to guarantee you're not going to be stepping into the water to get out.
Yeah, of course. But they're not going to be swimming to the shore.
No. No, nothing like that. It is adventurous, but it's not that adventurous. Yeah.
And what kind of temperatures can people expect at that time of year?
I would expect it to be in the sort of mid to high 20s and maybe into the 30s.
Yeah,
depending on where we are, because it will vary a bit.
Mm-hmm. And it'll like
so it'll be quite hot, and of course it will be quite humid. So,
yeah.
But there is air conditioning in the cabins, mm-hmm. So no, it should be all right, I think.
Yeah, and then I presume like a lot of places it'll get a bit cooler at night, and just
yes,
be prepared
definitely.
For that sort of the yeah. higher temperatures. But like you say, the humidity as well, it'll be there as well. Yeah. Okay, and just remind us again of when are you going? I know it's this year; it's in the summer. When are you going?
It is in, it's sort of late August, second half of August. So I think it's 17th of August to the 1st of September, if I remember rightly.
Fantastic. And just again, just in case people haven't been able to pick it up, on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you about this holiday?
I reckon pretty much close to 10. I mean, I am really excited about this one. And, yeah. and it just feels different to a lot of the others I've done, and that's always exciting in itself. You know, it's not just another country with a load of lodges and lots of birding in the forest. It's really different.
Yeah.
It kind of puts me in mind a little bit of, we do a Romania holiday where the last 3 days of that we're on the Danube Delta, mm-hmm. and we're on a kind of floating hotel with little boats. You come off and explore the channels and pools. And, you know, in my head, I imagine it working similar to that, but in a completely different place and a totally different environment. And, you know, toucans and hummingbirds and parrots and macaws and you know, all kinds of crazy birds. You know, I mean, the bird list, I'm looking through that and, you know, even just the forgetting the monkeys, forgetting the dolphins, everything, just the bird list is outrageous, really. And it's really hard to know which birds to highlight because there are so many.
It's all.
And there's loads of birds that, you know, you aren't going to mean much to British birders to some extent, unless you've been birding in South America already. There's all these families that, you know, we're just not familiar with, euphonias and all sorts of things. So and then there's all these ant birds, and there's lots of birds with ant in the name, like anywhere in the tropics, really, in South America. So there's ant birds and ant wrens and ant shrikes and ant vireos and all these different things. And it always amuses me that people therefore assume they eat ants, and of course they don't eat ants at all.
They are
so these birds are often associated with army ants.
Okay.
So if you get a big group of army ants going through the forest, they're not entirely sort of following them around all the time. You'll see them all over the place anyway. But what would be really exciting is if we could come across a big group of army ants, because mm-hmm. if you do get that, they kind of pile through and they eat anything. They will mm-hmm. eat spiders, cicadas, grasshoppers, lizards even. You know, they'll just smother them and pull them to bits. Horrible little things, really.
Okay.
But the thing is that all these insects and spiders and cicadas things, they know about army ants. So if there's a load of army ants coming and they start crawling around and they become aware of them, they just get the hell out of there. So they're mm-hmm. flopping, they're sort of flying out in all directions.
Ah,
and the birds can't find them normally, but when they're hopping away from the army ants, then they're suddenly very obvious. So the birds literally just hang around the army ant swarms. And if you do find a swarm like that, it can be a really exciting experience because it can be so many birds all focused on catching these insects that are being disturbed.
So it's a bit like a more exotic version of the gulls following a tractor when it's ploughing a field.
Yeah, pretty much. Never thought of that before. Yeah, very much so.
Well, I mean, it sounds like an amazing holiday of like childhood dreams, and it looks like it from the pictures and the information that we have. And I really look forward to September to sitting down and recording a podcast after you've been to the Amazon.
Yes.
It'll be really interesting. All
the exciting things we saw.
Yeah, definitely.
One other thing I'm really hoping we get, and again, I almost daren't mention it because it's kind of such a big draw if we get one, but it's possible, and it's probably the best place I will have ever been where there's a chance of one, and that is harpy eagle. I've never seen a harpy eagle. I would love to see a harpy eagle. It's right up there in my top five species I want to see in the world. And although it's, you know, the local guy said, well, don't go promising that, will you, because we probably won't see one. I was like, yeah, all right.
But
I can't help mentioning it because deep down in the back of my head, I'm thinking I'm going to be looking for that harpy eagle throughout the entire holiday because it is possible. They are there. They're not a bird that soars around above the forest much or anything like that. But, you know, I've looked at trip reports from, you know, other trips on there, and occasionally they do get seen. So you never know.
Well, I look forward, and I hope, even if you don't get your harpy eagle, the anticipation that you might, along with everything else, just sounds amazing. So thank you. Thanks for just giving us a bit more of an overview of the holiday as well. And I really do look forward to September to be able to sit down with you and listen to how it went.
Yes, I look forward to telling you all about it.
And the highlights. Brilliant. Thanks,
Roy. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to our trip report, and if we've inspired you to watch wildlife within Scotland and around the world, please check out a variety of experiences at www.spacesidewildlife.co.uk. And if you like this episode, please leave a comment and follow us to ensure you don't miss the next one.